verse 21. The Apostle John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son, the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's pray. My God, I need your help this morning to show these people the truth of the gospel. Lord, I want to remind those that are believers this morning of what the truth of the gospel is, so that they may have forgotten. They may just simply think of it as a couple of phrases or a couple of words, but there's a true, deep, and precious meaning to the gospel, and we want to remind ourselves of that. Lord, if there's one here this morning that has not accepted the truth of the gospel, Lord, please, through your Spirit, make it plain. I'm just going to be a man talking up here, but God, let the words of your word that you've inspired, let those words pierce to the heart of these people, both sinners and saints. Lord, because our sainthood, if you will, Lord, our sainthood is nothing apart from Jesus Christ. We can be as good as we want to be, but outside of our Savior, we're nothing. And help us to be reminded of that. Help us to be thankful for your grace, thankful for your love. Help us to be thankful people. Help us to be the kind of people that we ought to be. And Lord, we're asking for this, not because we're good people, not because we're deserving people, because Lord, I'm the least of all deserving people, but God, help us for this. Give us this because of your Son. Give it to us for Him, for His glory, for His name. And we ask this in His name. Amen. You can be seated. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." This passage starts where the gospel has to start. And we need to understand that's where it starts, with God. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with anything that I could ever conjure up. No man could ever think up the gospel. No man could ever bring something to us that was as powerful as this. No man. And in fact, if a man brings it to you, telling you, "Hey, I've got a new angle on this thing," you need to reject him. You need to walk away from him. You need to tell him, as Paul says, I think it's in Galatians, that he is cursed because there's only one gospel and it comes from God. So it starts with God. But I want to tell you the thing that I hope is probably, this is probably the best news in the whole sermon this morning. God's love is good. God's love is good. He is a good God. He is a loving God. And I want you to understand that it tells us the Bible that God is love. And people emphasize that as they, well, they should, because God is a very complicated being. Now, we have His Word to understand what we need to understand about this God, but I want you to understand that He is above us. His ways are above us. But let me emphasize this for you with God and His love. He is such an entity, such a being, that everything He does is love. You see, you have to understand that if you have the most perfect thing in the world, which God is, if you had the most perfect thing in the world, what would be the most loving thing to ever do with that? Share it with everybody, correct? So here is God being the most perfect person in the world, the perfect person in the universe, the most perfect thing ever. He is love. What is He going to do? He's going to express that love and make it known to us. Hebrews chapter 1 says that He spoke through His prophets, through the Old Testament, and today He speaks to us in the most perfect form of communication, His Son, Jesus Christ. So God is love, and He's loving in that He tells us and He talks to us. God is love. God is love in that He created us. Now, I had the question come up to me this week. Somebody was asking, "Well, if God, I don't understand the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. Because God had every opportunity to wipe this whole thing out, start over. He knew we were going to be sinners. He knew there was going to be these bad things that happened on this planet." And you know, if you think about it that way, you know, God, He knew all that stuff. It doesn't take Him by surprise. But then they would say, well, how is that loving? God is such a, that seems mean to allow all that thing to go on. Let me just tell you, I can't, my mind's not big enough to think about all the philosophical implications of that question, but let me answer you this way. If God had done what I deserved, because He knew that Matthew Tilly would be born, and at some point, very soon, not very long after that, as an infant who couldn't speak would begin to sin, He would know that that sin was grievous to Him. And He would look at Matthew Tilly and say, you know what? Forget this. Wipe him off. Let me try him another one. If God were not love, He would do exactly what that man, that atheistic man, wanted to happen. That God would have to do, oh, because there's bad things going to happen, wipe them off. No, God is love, so He gives me a chance to live. He gives me a chance to live several years on this planet, and I hear the truth of the gospel, and I can be changed, and I can be saved. God is love in that way. So God so loved us. He loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So God is love. This is a great thing. God's love. God's love is good. I want you to think about Jonah. You know that story of Jonah and the whale. You know the story of Jonah and the whale, right? Jonah, actually a pretty good guy. Now I know he ran from God, but God talked to him. You know, God actually talked to the man. So something's got to be going on there, right? He's got to have some kind of relationship with God. But Jonah, pretty decent guy. He's a prophet of God in Israel. God comes to him, talks to him, and says, I want you to go talk to these people over in Nineveh about how bad they are. Jonah doesn't want to do it. Ultimately, long story short, you know the long story, but we'll make it short, he goes. And when he goes there, he preaches a message of doom and destruction. Tells them everything's going to be, it's going to be dead, it's going to be over, just forget it, hang it up. I think his sermon is like 6 words long. Basically, God's going to destroy the place, is what he's saying. They turn back to God. They turn back to Him. And Jonah's mad. Jonah's upset about this. He says, God, these people deserve to be killed. And at the end, the very last verse of the book of Jonah, God tells him, listen, I made these people. I love these people. I love these people. Don't you think? If I made these people, he was over there upset because, you know, he had a gourd. Remember the gourd that grew up over him? He was upset because that thing went away. He didn't have anything to do with it. God made these people. Don't you think God loves them? That's what God told Jonah. So why don't you remember that story there? But these were wicked, evil people, but God is love, that He extended grace to them too. So God's love is good. God's love is good, and He so loved the world that He gave us Jesus Christ. But here's where this sermon potentially takes a little bit of a detour on us. Because he says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And let's, please, I am not taking anything away from that. In fact, I could never take anything away from that. That is the best news that this world has ever heard. Jesus Christ came to this earth. But here's what happens. This world is so full of self-esteem. When I tell them God is love, most people, now you might not say it out loud. I wouldn't say it out loud. Not if you know what's good for you. But in your heart you're thinking, God is love. God loves me. Of course He loves me. I'm worthy of love. I deserve love. That's what most of us think. I'll just tell you this right now. Yesterday, my wife and I had a little bit of an argument about some things. You know what the argument was about? Because I thought I deserved some stuff. I deserved something that she didn't want to do for me or get for me or do what... That's most of our arguments, right? Because we want what we want and we think we deserve it. Same thing with God's love. We think we deserve God's love. Now let me tell you, friends, God is love and God does love you. However, look again at John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but listen here, he that believeth not is condemned already. I want you to understand that while God's love is good, God's wrath is real. God's love is good, but God's wrath is real. The fact of the matter is, you deserve none of God's love. You deserve nothing good from God. Why do I say that? He says there, again, yes, because of God's love, he that believeth on Jesus is not condemned. We have the wonderful peace and grace of knowing that if we put our faith and trust in the Savior, we don't have to suffer judgment. But understand that if you don't do that, that means the minute that you're born, because Until that moment, that time that you put your faith in Jesus, you're not trusting in Jesus, right? You're under condemnation. You're under judgment. You see that that's sin. I don't care how small that sin is. And most of us, some of us do big sins, some of us do little sins, but we all have sins. I don't care how little it is. That sin is against God. That sin is something that when God made this world, He made it a certain way. In fact, in Genesis, it tells us that He made us, human beings, in His image. We're supposed to be like, look like God. We're supposed to reflect His glory. Now, we're not God, obviously, but we are supposed to reflect His glory, show the world how wonderful He is. One sin messes that up. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says that one sin entered into this world. Adam and Eve, they decided they were going to do what they wanted to do. They sinned against God. And just like my daddy gave me a bald head, my daddy gave me sin. He passed along my sin to me. So when I was born, what did I have in me? I had sin. And that goes for every one of these little kids up here. It goes for every one of you in this room. You have sin in you from the moment of your birth. Now, if you sit there and say, well, God loves me and deserves, and I deserve it, that's the thing that makes you not deserve it. Because God does love, or because God did express His love and did create you, we have just sinned against a holy and righteous God. And He's sitting down there looking at, He's standing up in heaven looking down at us and saying, they're sinners. They have offended me. This is the God of heaven. We are offending Him. And He is the God of heaven. He is going to pour out His wrath against sin. This is not a question. This is a fact. It will happen. It has happened in Calvary. But if you don't put your faith in that, if you don't put your faith in the fact that Jesus took that wrath, it's going to be poured out on you. Philippians chapter 3 talks about how that we will, everybody, heaven and earth and under the earth, everybody will be on their knees praising God as Jesus as the Lord of the universe. That's going to happen in heaven for sure. Revelation chapter 5 tells us that we're going to be around the throne praising God. And I can't wait to be there expressing how He's the one who shed His blood for me and saved us to our God. I love that fact that I'll be there. But friends, there will be some of us, I fear that there may even be some in this room, who will be in the pits of hell with their legs broken on their knees, screaming in anguish and pain, because they did not worship God on this planet right here, right now. You will be worshiping Him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. It's not a matter of you making Him Lord. He is Lord. It's a question of, are you going to respect Him as Lord now, or will you be in the pit of hell respecting Him as Lord? The fact is, God's wrath is real. The fact of the matter is, if we do not believe in Him, we are condemned already. The sentence is already passed. The judgment is promised to come. It will happen. There's no question. I'm not even offering it up as, let's think about this. I'm just telling you the Bible makes it clear. It's going to happen. So yes, God's love is good and I am thankful for it. But do not forget that His wrath is real. Some people try to say that there are these two parts to God. He loves us and He's got wrath. The fact is, those things are intertwined. Let me explain. I've tried to explain this once before to you in another context, but let me explain it again. I have a little girl right there who I love to death. It's my little girl. Don't touch my little girl. Don't mess with my little girl. She's the prettiest little girl. And if some man who decides, because he is some kind of perverse man, decides he's going to go after my little girl, let me tell you, the stops come out. All bets are off. Now, do you say, Matthew, well, you are supposed to be a loving man? My love creates my wrath. My love creates, if you touch my little girl, my love will make you show you how wrathful I can be. Because I love my little girl. Same thing with God. God loves, absolutely He loves. He loves His glory. He loves His people. He loves His Son. You do one thing to mar His glory. One little lie. One little piece of gossip. Even the smallest little thing that we would think nothing about. But it mars His glory. Don't you think He deserves to be wrathful? Don't you think He deserves to come at us? Just like if somebody were to come after my little girl, as much as I love her, I'm not going to say, well, I love everybody. Well, I do love everybody, but don't mess with my girl. Don't touch my girl. I love everybody as long as you leave my girl alone, because that's important to me. That's important to God. His glory, His righteousness, His holy is important. Holiness is important to Him. So, well, God's love is good. God's wrath is real. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let me see if I can explain this for you. You see, God's love is good. We know this. Praise God. His love is good. We also understand His wrath is real. My goodness. But because His love is good, His wrath is real, He's given us a way of escape, right? Jesus Christ on the cross, shedding His blood. He pours out His wrath on His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the problem. Huge problem for everyone in this room. Enormous problem. The light comes into the world. Jesus Christ, He's here. He's given us a way of escape. He's on the cross. He's saying, God, I want You to put all Your wrath on me so my children don't have to suffer this. He's doing that for us. But, look at the end again. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Here's a problem. Huge problem. Huge problem. God's love is good. God's wrath is real. But here, God's grace is necessary. Do you know why God's grace is necessary? Because I, in my stupidness, let me put it plain, my stupidness, my denseness, my dullness, I hate God. That's what human beings, they naturally hate God. Romans chapter 3 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the verses after that go on and tell us it's not just a sin. I mean, sin is bad, but it explains how bad sin is. The fact that we actively choose to do bad things because we like them. We like to do bad things. The thought of God, it does not even want to enter our mind. In Romans chapter 1, it says we worship the creature more than the Creator. We turn the truth of God into a lie. That's what we do. So the light comes into the world. You know what we want to do? And I mean we. I'm talking about you, me, every one of us. There's no exception to this. Our natural reaction to the King. You know what our natural reaction is? Not interested. Not interested. What in the world? I got what I need. I'm okay. I'm glad God loves me. Of course He loves me, because I deserve to be loved, right? I'm a good guy. God should love me. That's what we're thinking. That's what most of us are thinking, naturally thinking. So how in the world is anybody ever going to get saved? Because if you don't put your faith in Jesus, that's what the Bible says there, that you have to believe in Him. So how in the world are we ever going to get saved? We don't need to believe in Him. We're going to believe in ourselves. We're going to believe that God loves us because we deserve it. Well, that's where the grace of God comes into effect. That's where God's love overabundantly abounds. That's where whenever He died on the cross, Jesus Christ died on the cross, God poured out His wrath on His Son, Jesus Christ. When He did that, it was an extension of His grace. He reached into the hearts of men and women, many of whom are sitting in this room, men and women, and He changed those hearts. That's what we preached about last week when He was talking to Nicodemus there. He says, we've got to be born again. We have to be new creatures. We have to be regenerated, made alive in Christ. This is a miracle of God's grace. I'm standing here preaching to you this morning as a man who can claim that I put my faith in Jesus Christ many, many years ago. 1979, as a matter of fact. I did that. Was it because I'm so smart? Was it because I had the luck of being born into a preacher's home? Was it because of any of those things? Let me tell you, it had nothing to do with that. If God had left me to my own devices, I don't care if He could have made me born in a pulpit. He could have made me born my baby bed lined with the Scripture. But if it weren't for the grace of God, if He had just let me go on my own, let me tell you, I'd be up here ranting and raving about the stupidity of this book, the foolishness of this book, if I were left to my own devices. You know why I'm saved this morning? Do you know why I can stand and preach to you the truth of this? Not because I was raised in a certain way, not because I was even taught a certain way, but because the gospel was preached, because the truth was heard, because it says because it was through the foolishness of preaching that saved me. So I heard the gospel, and God changed my heart so that I could hear that and not be like, remember the crowds last week? We heard about the crowds that heard that, and they said, oh, this is great, as long as it does me some good. Oh, this is good as long as He makes my belly fat. Oh, this is good as long as it makes me feel good. No, I didn't want like the crowds, nor was I like the Jews who said, oh, we'll believe, but you've got to show us more proof. No, why did I sit there when I was a young boy and I listened to the gospel and I said, that's true, that's real, I need it. Why? Because of the grace of God. That's necessary. It's got to happen. We can come in here with the most eloquent arguments in the world, and there are some eloquent men providing eloquent arguments. Let me just tell you, you can read some books that will just blow you away in their eloquence and in their complicated argumentation of Scripture, and they're right and they're good and they're nice. But there are millions of people on this planet who do not trust the Savior. Why is it? Because we need the grace of God, not the eloquence of men. Yes, we need to preach it. The Bible tells us to preach it far and wide. And we are ashamed. We should be ashamed if we do not. But it's not me that saves a man. It's not you that saves a man. It's God that saves a man. It's God who reaches into a man or a woman's heart and changes that heart and makes them so they can look at this truth, and no longer does it seem like, oh, that's just a bunch of religious gobbledygook. Then it turns in, because God changes and he turns, and they say that's the most precious truth that ever existed. That's the grace of God. That opens the eyes, turns the heart, that opens the ears so we know the truth. The grace of God. So God's love is good. Thank God for his good love. But God's wrath is real. Don't forget that. Don't think that God's love, he's sitting there saying, well, how can I help Matthew today? Because he's such a good feller. No, his wrath is real. And he gave away, escape from his wrath through his son Jesus Christ. But I'll never turn to that. I'll never turn to that apart from Jesus or the grace of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says that I'm saved by grace through faith. That's how I'm saved, by grace, the grace of God. Verse 20, let's look at that, please. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. One comment here that I'll make is that God's truth is revealing. And some of you are in this church today, and let me just put it this way to you. Let's be real blunt and real plain with you. I know the testimony of some of you. I don't know the testimony of every one of you, particularly some of these kids, some of the younger ones here. I don't really know their testimony. Haven't really talked to them about it. So I'm speaking to you pretty bluntly. Now, some of you that have given me a testimony, it's between you and God, so you need to listen to what I'm saying just the same. But I'm really kind of talking to some of you that I haven't heard your testimony. You come to church, and again, with the exception of our friends here visiting with us, every one of you have been here at least a couple of times, if not every time we have service. You come to church on a regular basis. Thank God you're in church. There's worse places you can be. But when you come to church, are you coming to the light? Are you coming to the truth? Because let me just tell you, I've been in these pews when I was a little kid. And you know what you can do in a church? You older folks know it as well as I do. You can sit here and turn it off. You can turn it off. You can be in another world. And you're not coming to the truth. You're not coming to the light. Let me tell you, there's a couple reasons for that. One is, I understand, you're kids. It's hard to listen to this boring man up here talking. I understand, and I can appreciate that. But let me tell you the other thing, and this is the fearful thing, if this is why you've turned me off, is you don't want to listen because you know what I'm saying is right. And then if you listen to what I'm saying, and you hear the truth, you're going to realize that there's something wrong with you, that you need to get it right, that it's not, you can live as good a life as you want to, but the truth that I'm preaching, that you'll hear me preach every time, is there ain't nothing you can do on your own to get you right. And you're going to sit there and say, I don't want to hear that mess. I don't want to hear that I have to trust in Jesus. I want to be able to just be what I'm being. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. You won't want to hear the truth, because when you hear it, you'll have to come to it. And that's what we tend to do. That's what we tend to do, kids. You tend to turn it off because you don't want to hear it. Because you don't want it. You've heard it before. It just makes me feel bad. Well, I'm sorry it makes you feel bad, but God's wrath will make you feel worse. I'd rather come to Jesus, listen to a man sitting up here preaching about this, than have to come to him from the pit of hell. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to the truth that I'm preaching to you. Because the truth is revealing. It reveals what a sinner you are. It reveals how bad it is. And let me tell you, there's probably some older folks in here who can give you testimonies of the road and let you go down. But you know what? I'm sad about that. And I want you to hear me so you'll avoid those bad things. But let me tell you the thing I want you to avoid is standing before a holy and righteous God and saying, look at me, God. Look how good I am. And he's going to say, depart from me into the pit of hell. That's what I don't want to happen. I want you to be able to stand up there like many of these men and women are and say, Jesus is the one that is covering me. God, don't even look at me. He's the one I'm here with. He's the one that's covering me. need to submit to. But otherwise, let me just tell you what I know you're doing, many of you are doing, is you said, I've heard this stuff before. I've heard it before. I don't need to listen to it now. We need to hurry up and get over now, because this truth hurts. This truth is revealing. God's truth is revealing, and it reveals to us, as we've already said, God's love is good. Thank God for God's love being so good. But His wrath is real. Friends, it is real. Do not forget that it is real. And God's grace is necessary. Of course, His truth is revealing. And here's one that I hope stings every last one of us, myself included. Look at verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let me just make my point here. This is the fact that God's work is lasting. God's work is lasting. I just gave you, went through a long discussion there talking about how we want to turn off the truth because it's revealing and it makes us feel bad. It hurts our feelings and I don't want to have to come to Jesus. I've heard all that stuff before. You're a believer. Thank the Lord, you're a believer. Thank the Lord that He saved you. Thank the Lord you understood His wrath was coming and you said, I'll take it in Jesus instead of myself. Amen. Thank God for that. Let's check up on ourselves though. Let's look at ourselves. It says here in the Bible, says it clear. Let's read it again. Verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let me tell you, look at your life. Look at what you're doing. Now, what saves us? The grace of Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. I'm not asking you to stand up here and say, well, let me show you the three things that I've done so I can be saved. I'm not saying that. Do not take that from what I'm saying. If you take that from what I'm saying, you've missed the whole message. The message is that Jesus Christ is the only way that we're going to be saved. That said, when Jesus Christ comes in, He changes your heart. He opens your eyes. He opens your ears. The truth that's revealed to you will change your life. You will be a different man, a different woman. Amen. If you look back at your life and you say, you know what? I made a decision. I put my faith in Jesus. I am a different. I made a choice there at one point in my life. But you know, I'm really that same old dude. Something's different. Something's wrong. I'm sorry. Something's wrong. Something better be different. When God puts a new heart in a man, He doesn't play around. Remember the story about changing the water into wine? That wine was wine. Somebody didn't drink it and said, it kind of tastes like water. No, they said, that's wine. And when the people look at your life, they don't need to say, that kind of looks like a sin-saved person. That kind of looks like somebody who I might meet somewhere and their life doesn't match up with Scripture. No, our lives should be different. We should be different. You look back at, you should be able to look back at the last 5, 10 years, or however long you've been saved, and see, I'm not asking for perfect people. Because if you're looking for perfect people, I need to sit down. But I'm asking, the Lord is commanding that if you have come to the light, you are in the light, you're going to do the truth. Amen. If you're in the light, you're going to do the truth. If, however, you look back the last 5, 10 years, or however long it is you've been saved, and there is no change. Or in fact, if not, if anything, and sometimes this even happens, there's a little bit of a reversal in your life. Things are getting a little worse. And I'm not talking about your money or your health. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your holiness, the way you live according to God. If you are not matching up with this Scripture, check yourself. Check yourself, because the Bible says that it will make a difference. Jesus doesn't do junk. He doesn't change stuff and say, I think that's good enough. No, He changes it completely. We are new creatures in Christ. And friends, children, any of you who have made a profession of faith, who said, I'm saved, I'm glad for you. That's between you and God. But let me tell you, look at your life. Is your life matching up with what the Scripture says? If it's not matching up with what the Scripture says, check it. Talk to God. Like we said last week, do like Nicodemus did. You know what Nicodemus did? He didn't come in knowing all the answers. He didn't come in saying, I got it all figured out. Now let me just tell you what I want to tell you, God. No, he said, God, I don't know what's going on here. I know there's some things that aren't right here, but Lord, I need you. I need you to fix me. And that's what I would ask any of you kids who profess faith in Jesus, any of you adults who say, here's the date that I got saved. I'm glad you got that. That's all good. But check yourself. check yourself. Because it's not about how many words you said, if you even said the right words. There's this idea that if I remember the day and I said the right things, then I'm saved. No, it's about a change of heart. It's about the grace of God. Yes, we need to confess with our mouth. We need to believe in our heart. But if we don't have a real change on the inside, check yourself. And I push every one of you, whether you're a member of this church, a visitor with us this morning, or just somebody who comes on a regular basis, check yourself. Because this thing is too serious, too important to just mess around and say, you know what, I think I did it this way and that's kind of good enough. But then I look at my life, whatever. No, there should be a change. There should be a change. When you're in the truth, when you are coming to the light, you will live and walk in the truth.
Amen.
Here's how I'm going to close this. I don't have a good way to close this, but here's how I'm going to do it anyway. 1 John 4:10 is a verse that I appreciate a lot. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Thank God that's not love, because I didn't love God. But that He loved us. And here's the part that just thrills me. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I know we don't go around saying propitiation all the time. I understand that. But that is a very important word. It's one of the favorite word I have in the entire Bible. Because here's what that means. It means that God made us perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect when He made them. They were. You look at Scripture, they were. God made them. Goodness gracious, God doesn't make stupid stuff. He doesn't make junk. He makes perfect things. They chose to sin. And when they chose to sin, that sent the entire human race in a spiral. And God, being God, loving as He is, holy also, full of wrath for His righteousness and His glory and His goodness, looked at humanity and said, I love them, but they've got to take my judgment. It's just got to happen. So He had a big old pot of judgment ready to pour out. But then He said, you know what? I've got a better plan. The plan that came up before the foundations of the world. The word predestined comes into mind when you read the Scriptures, Ephesians 1 and some other places. He came up with this plan before anybody ever was on this plan. He said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. This big old pot of wrath that I need to pour out, that everyone in here, by the way, if you even got a taste of this wrath, it would kill us. It would absolutely floor us. He said, I'm going to take this big old pot of wrath and my Son, Jesus Christ, He'll go down to the earth. He'll live for 30-something years. He will live a perfect life. He will be our example. He will show them what I expected out of them. He'll do that, and at the end of His life, He's going to be nailed to a cross, and He's going to go suffer some anguish and some pain. But that's nothing. Because what He's going to do is hanging between heaven and earth. I'm going to take this big old pot of wrath, and I'm going to throw it on Jesus. I'm not going to give it to all those people that they deserve. That, friends, is called propitiation. He's going to give it to Jesus when I deserved it. That's what He's going to do. That's what He did already.
Yes.
Now, can you imagine the insult that it would be, that it is, whenever you say, thank you very much, not interested. Or, I got a better way. Or, even worse, I know Jesus did all that, but let me try a little harder. Can you imagine? That's insulting to God. That's insulting to the Creator of the universe. But herein is love, that He did it for you. So in my closing, children, every one of you, mine, Willie, Sierra, Kevin, all you, Casey, all you, won't you listen to this? This is important. You need to be saved. Not need to be saying a few words. I'm not even saying anything about what you got to pray and it. Who cares? Here's what I want you to do. You need to ask God to save you, because He's the one that can do it. If you've not done that this morning, if you've never done that before, you need to do it. Now, adults, most of you, by your testimony, have given some indication, some better than others, but all of you have given some indication that you're saved. God, that you're saved. Check yourself. Look at your life. Does that look like the life that God died for? Does that look like the life that God changed with His grace? If it doesn't, friend, I don't care how long ago it was that you said, I said a prayer. I don't care how long ago it was that you walked an aisle. You need to check yourself and put your faith in Jesus. It's the only thing that'll change you. Let's close it in prayer. Give you an opportunity to respond if you'd like. Vanessa, if you'll play a hymn. I'm going to pray.